of the expectations that you set with me was make sure you have enough money for a year. So don't expect to sell a business. On average, it takes 9 to 12 months to sell a business. So don't expect that you're going to sell a business within the first year. Mm-hmm. That it's going to take you a while to get a listing. It's going to take you a while to find a buyer after you get that listing. It's going to take you might have that deal fall apart.
Right.
So make sure that you have your money for a year. And so, I mean, that from that standpoint, you know, I was well prepared to come in to where I didn't come in going, hey, I need some cash. I need to make a sale tomorrow and get this thing to close.
Right.
You know, so from that standpoint, I was prepared.
Yeah, and I think that you were prepared. I know you had the budget, and you made it very clear what you had to do. And so and that was good to have that out there. And nobody wants to be in a desperate situation when you're doing what we do. You know, we have to be comfortable. We have to be patient. Deals fall apart. We can't go nuts when it happens, because it will happen.
Welcome back to the Apex Business Advisors Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Cavanaugh, joined by Doug Hubler here to spread some good news.
Yeah. Oh, just start right in on it.
Good news.
Just jump on it.
Good news.
Okay. Well, we had 3 closings last week. So, and I think the last podcast we had talked about one, a paint distributorship, but last week we closed on several. One was in Texas, an HVAC company Ron had been working on for months. And really, the buyer and seller had agreed to terms months ago, but this particular bank working on the deal, new to the system, new to SBA, inexperienced folks, so it took quite a while to get that deal closed. But anyway, Texas HVAC company.
Do they need air conditioning in Texas?
Periodically.
Okay.
There are a couple of weeks in the summer where people tend to use their air conditioning.
Okay, very good.
You know, and that's also heating.
Well yeah.
Right.
Right.
So, a couple of weeks of heating.
They use that in January?
January 15th through the 31st. And then Debbie had a unique, specialized retail business in St. Louis.
I was wondering how you were going to maintain confidentiality on that one.
It had to do with a special salad dressing.
Cooking
oil? I don't know. But that's good enough. We can say that. Anyway, it was in St. Louis, and that was one of those two. We're like, geez, who's going to buy this business? And it was a great little store, but yeah, she got a buyer for it right away.
I think part of the thing too is that that business also had like wine tasting and you know had a liquor license and stuff like that, so they could do wine tasting
extra.
And pairings
probably,
and
probably
stuff like
probably some
that.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And then finally, Ryan closed a really special liquor store in the Topeka area that had some special hurdles to jump.
Oh, I thought that it was like every other liquor store and was just going to go smooth sailing
right
through the...
Right. Like all the other ones.
Just like
sure,
all the other ones.
Sure.
Yeah, that there was going to be no arguments over inventory. With sellable
the
versus
licensing
non-sellable. Yeah,
licensing. Issues. Yeah. What do you mean I can't? What? Just because I had a felony, I can't? What?
You know, enough about that stuff. Let's talk about my favorite topic.
Wait.
All right, go ahead.
Should I bring it in?
Go ahead.
I mean, you've been with Apex now officially, from what you've told me, 2 years. Officially 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
I mean, I had it officially a while ago.
Yeah.
But then you didn't. Then you went on vacation.
So should it be unofficially? Like, would your? I think your records would be officially.
Right.
Because that's when I signed my paperwork.
Right.
And then my start would be the unofficial start, because
of
I had
you actually showed up.
Of when I actually showed up. Right. Yes, I had the summer of no worries.
You went on sabbatical.
I went on sabbatical.
You signed all the documents and then left the country.
I said, sure, man, I'll sign you. Sure, whatever. I'll sign your documents under duress. And then
and
I'm
if
leaving.
I decide to come back from Hawaii or wherever you went, then maybe I'll come by.
I took a few trips. You know, I felt like it was going to be the only time in my life, really, where I was going to have basically 6-7 weeks of, like, not really, like, have any responsibilities.
Yeah.
And I had just come off of 10 years of every single day having responsibilities for a business. I had 6 weeks left of summer, and I was like, I'm gonna have this summer of no worries.
That's like the college graduates who just decide, I'm going to hike through Europe.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, too, where I'm really glad that I did it, because I feel like if I hadn't have gone away and mentally gotten right and got the kids back into school and went and visited some people that I hadn't visited. Like, the funny thing is, my sister and I joke, the week that I visited her while she had lived in this community for 7 or 8 years was the week that they put their house on the market. And it had just been that long since I was able to actually get down to visit her. So, but yes, I count my my time as, and you and I had worked together too for a while before that on the sale of my business and stuff like that. So it's not like I was new to the process. It was just that it was the time where I actually decided to drive out here every day and show up and devote my time to this.
I kept looking out the window waiting for you to roll up.
This guy's gonna show up.
That's right. So thanks for making it for 2 years.
Yeah, you know, and I think that so I did jokingly say that we're talking about one of my favorite topics, me.
Right. But that's true.
Which it's entirely true. So settle in for a 3-hour episode.
I will be able to ask questions, right?
It will be a 14-parter.
Should I just sit back?
So your role is done here.
I want to go check email.
You talked about your closings. Now you've got nothing to do. Why don't you just ask a question?
Well, I think one of the things that I always like to talk about is your experience in those first 2 years. It's like, is this kind of what you expected it would be? You know, this is a really unique industry that we're in. There aren't thousands of people that do what we do. And so going into it, I try to prepare new advisors as they're coming in. This is what it's going to be like. But what did you discover?
You did a great job of setting expectations. And you set expectations of don't expect to make any money the first year.
Yeah.
Like, I knew this was what I wanted to do. One of the expectations that you set with me was make sure you have enough money for a year. So don't expect to sell a business. On average, it takes 9 to 12 months to sell a business. So don't expect that you're going to sell a business within the first year, that it's going to take you a while to get a listing. It's going to take you a while to find a buyer after you get that listing. It's going to take you might have that deal fall apart.
Right.
So make sure that you have your money for a year. And so, I mean, that from that standpoint, you know, I was well prepared to come in to where I didn't come in going, hey,
I need some cash.
I need to make a sale tomorrow and get this thing to close.
Right.
You know, so from that standpoint, I was prepared.
Yeah, and I think that you were prepared. I know you had the budget and you made it very clear what you had to do. And so and that was good to have that out there, and nobody wants to be in a desperate situation when you're doing what we do. You know, we have to be comfortable, we have to be patient. Deals fall apart, we can't go nuts when it happens, because it will happen.
One of my first goals was, okay, I have to sell a business, and I forget what the number of months was.
Okay.
That I had money for.
Right.
I need to. I okay. Now I, I know that if I get to the 6 month mark and I don't have it, doesn't look good, I can tighten the belt a little bit.
Right,
So I had this budget and I wanted to say that it was like 14 months. I had to sell a business, I had to get some income in 14 months is the number that's sticking out at me.
Yeah.
And I think I closed on my first deal 4 months in. So I remember the first deal that came through, you said, hey, we had this person call in, they inquired. This doesn't happen all the time. Here's two of them, call.
Yeah.
Call them. And this, I actually called them while I was on my summer of no worries. And like the week before, somebody had called and they wanted to sell a frozen yogurt shop, which the ironic part of that particular frozen yogurt shop was it was owned by the same franchise that I had just sold out of. And I was like, well, I certainly know what they're going to expect from a... Jeff has famously told me that his first sale was a $35,000 dry cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so if I have the career like Jeff has, based on my first sale, I'll have double the career that Jeff had, because I got a full $85,000 out of this business that I sold for my first one. And so minimum commission deal right out of the gate. But the minimum commission deal bought me a few more months.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I got three more months. And then the next deals that I got were, and this is where I've said that for us new brokers, and I've broken Apex Brokers into three generations. And so I say for us third generation brokers that we started on second base. Because I don't think this happened for generation two and generation one brokers. But I had brokers that were like, hey, look, I've been working with this person for a few years now, and I've outgrown this type of listing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to tell them no. Do you want the listing?
Right. Yep.
I'll split, you know, we'll split the sell side this way, this way, or, you know, I'll give you the listing and you get a run with it. I'll help
just
you
take
out.
It, yep.
I'm going to take a little bit because that's what we do here.
Right.
I got to pay it off some way, right? And so, like, my next few were essentially gifts from other brokers. But, you know, I looked at those as these are the ways that I'm going to prove value. So when I came in, like, my theme that I had for myself was I need to build.
Mm-hmm.
I need to build trust with these people. I need to build respect. I need to build my business, my personal business in here.
Right.
And so what does that look like? It shows that if these people were to trust me with a Tom Donnelly lead, or if they were to trust me with a frozen yogurt store that walked through the door, that I was going to take that, I was going to run with it, and I was going to do something with it. And thankfully, the vast majority of those gifts sold. There were two of those gifts that did not sell, and they were terrible gifts.
Would you like to name them?
Well, I can't name names, but there was two of them that didn't sell, and they were... Okay. Like, I really think that I lucked out with the frozen yogurt shop. The buyer loved that brand, but that was a deal that was so small. So it was almost like I had this, like, reputation. I was building this reputation with the firm of, like, this guy can sell the real small stuff. You got some teeny tiny stuff, send it to that guy because he can. And then I think I've gotten rid of that reputation because I only converted on one of three of those. But thankfully, the other gifts that I had that were within what we would call as apex range, acceptable apex range of, you know, look, it's a smaller deal, but it's still something that we do and we have plenty of buyers for. And I was able to take those deals and not necessarily have to rely on the other broker to, tell me, what's due diligence mean?
Well, so it makes sense, right? To when you're starting out, you're not going to be jumping into the larger transactions because a new advisor, a new broker is not going to feel comfortable through the whole process, isn't going to be able to advise the seller or the buyer what the process is. But when you get into the smaller deals, those gifts that you had really helped you, and they were good tests for you, right? To test your skills.
Yeah, 100%. They were... the gifts that I say were the bad ones, these were, they were less than $100,000 sale businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's just, mm-hmm. those are just, hate to point
they're
it out,
tough.
But we've done podcasts on this, of the, those aren't really businesses. Yeah. So I ended up my first year closing on 7 transactions.
That's
and
really good.
And we have, like, one of the stretch goals that I had for that first year was, again, my expectations were set at, hey, don't expect to make any money.
Mm-hmm.
And my first paycheck was a minimum commission deal that bought me 3 more months of living expenses.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't worried about taxes at that point. I didn't really worry about that.
You do know that we report that.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Well, and that's as, you know, as these deals started coming through, then I was, mm-hmm. you know, started working with my accountant and my financial advisor of like, okay. And then I started saving too much. Pulling too much. All right, I'm going to need you to take 40% of this check that I got set aside for taxes.
Right, right.
Like, and I'm like, dude, you're not making that much money. Like, you're not really there yet. So yeah, like it was the lessons out of that first year were really just how to build, like mm-hmm. how to gain that trust, getting the education in the business, getting certifications, getting to a conference, you know, kind of meeting people and
right.
stuff like that. And so you kind of set that foundation that first year. And really, like, my whole thing was, like, develop the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the fundamentals and build these fundamentals, because the fundamentals, when you get to year two, because then you can build on and you can start focusing on some of the more, the art of being a broker.
Well, you brought up something that I was going to ask you about. The coursework, IBBA, the certification, Certified Business Intermediary that you went through, and all of our new advisors go through those courses pretty early on. So I kind of wanted to get some feedback on that, on what you thought of that, because it's different than watching those old videos that we had that were kind of training, very
yeah.
basic.
So the IBBA course, I found it invaluable. It was real life examples, but getting through that coursework is just not something that, like, I just don't know that there's anyone here that's going to sit down and go, all right, now let's
right.
spend 40 hours and
right.
we're going to go through every aspect of this.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to train new people in our business. So, you know, when we started requiring that a few years back, it made a huge difference getting people a jump start in the industry, because, like you said, for me to sit down and try to explain all aspects of the business, going through the legal issues, the ethical issues, you know, technology, and just the financial part of it, and analyzing a business, very difficult for me or one of the other folks here to sit down and train somebody like that. So that the IBBA has been valuable to me, because it gets you a leg up on the competition and gets you, you know, a credible voice in front of clients.
The other thing too is that as part of that certification, you're required to go to a conference.
Mm-hmm.
I always kind of say that those conferences are effective if you go and you meet 3 new people and you learn 3 new ideas. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you can, like, I've implemented those 6 ideas now mm-hmm. over the course of the 2
yep.
years, and it's
yep.
like, wow, that made it a lot easier.
Well, and see what that does for Apex in general too, because you and the others come back with some ideas that you've learned something, and so forces me now to implement some new technology or some new processes, but it helps the business in general. And every time somebody new comes in, even if they haven't taken those courses, like in your background, you had come from a consulting background, you owned a business, so when you came here, you did have some new ideas on how, you know, you look at what we were doing, how we were handling business, and you and everybody else comes in thinking, oh, here's something else maybe that we could try. And I try to be open to those new ideas. We've changed a lot over
yeah.
the years.
Well, it is good that you have moved away from the requiring people to carry a clipboard around with their calendar. Now, some of our
right.
Gen 1 brokers are still holding on to that, and we love them for that.
Right.
To kind of wrap up that first year, you know, $2 million in sales was, And I don't know, I didn't set a goal, a sales goal in year one. I was just like,
Right.
Can I sell a dollar? Can I get a deal done? You know? And then when you start to add value and you start to show, you know, the your teammates and the people around say, okay, yeah, we can go to that guy. Like he can turn his computer on.
Right.
He knows how to read a tax return and move it into a seller's discretionary earnings and do a broker's opinion of value. And I think I ended up with 5 listings, 7 sales, 7 closed deals.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, and part of the thing that I did in that first year was I was like, okay, I'm probably not going to get a lot of listings, but man, I can work this buyer side. I can bring buyers onto this, and I can be, you know, and so I built the communication pipeline with the buyers. You know, you get a few listings, you get buyers on there. We've talked about that, like 99% of the people that come through here don't buy the business that they inquire on.
Right.
Either it's not the right business, or they were too late,
Okay, I think that's a good place to stop, because Andy's story is getting really long. I think we're on to, 6 months in?
3 months.
3 months. So this is scheduled for the next 12 weeks. We're going to listen to Andy's story. So let's go ahead and end it there, and we'll pick it up next week.
In fairness to me, it's a two-parter.
Okay. We got a lot to cover next time.
I thought these were important tales to tell. Maybe we'll have a new broker, and just instead of you actually having to talk to them, you tell them to go listen to
the podcast.
Here's these 2 episodes. I need you to listen to these. This is what your first 2 years are going to look like.
Right.
Leave me.
Go back to your office.
All right. Well, then let's send everybody out to our website, caseyapex.com. That's going to be where you can find more about my story. Get in contact with me, learn all about me,
all about Andy,
and how you can work with me, anybody else on our team. That's where we're going to have our current listings. Our blogs are going to be out there. The podcasts are going to be out there. Information on buying or selling a business. So every place, your one-stop shop, every place you need to know about buying or selling a business is going to be there on caseyapex.com. Until next week, if you're looking at buying or selling a business, we got you, fam.